Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In ancient times, Abraham lived in the land of the Chaldeans, which is modern-day Iraq. Then he moved to Haran and stayed there. And one day, God appeared to Abraham and called him to go. Let's take a look at that. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I'll make you a great nation, and I will bless you." So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. And Abraham took his wife Sarah and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions which they'd gathered and the persons that they'd gotten in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. God called Abraham to undertake a journey to a land he had never seen. God made him a traveler. God made him a pilgrim, a sojourner, to go out to a new destination, a land, a country that he'd never seen before, a country that had been promised to him. Well, friends, in the same way, we as Christians have been called to go. To depart from this world, to undertake a great journey to the world to come. And God has made us pilgrims and travelers. Therefore, today I'd like to speak with you about this, about being pilgrims and travelers, and about our journey home. First of all, I want to ask then this question. Has God indeed called us to undertake a journey? Are we really pilgrims and travelers according to Scripture? Let's take a look at a couple of passages. First of all, you can look at the Old Testament in Exodus 3, when God appeared to Moses, he said, "I have seen the afflictions of my people who are in Egypt. I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land flowing with milk and honey." That took place in the Old Testament days as a preview of the reality that would be for Christians, that God would draw us out of a land of bondage to undertake a journey through a wilderness to a great and promised land, namely heaven. For Jesus came along in the New Testament days and said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So let me ask you a question. Make sure you're paying attention here. If Jesus asks you to follow him, what's he asking you to do? Undertake a journey. Ah, very good. We are pilgrims. And where are we going? We're going to the world above, to the kingdom of our Lord and Father, of Jesus Christ. For it says in Hebrews 11, "Of all the saints, these all died in faith, not having received what was promised, but having seen it and greeted it from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they'd been thinking of the land from which they'd gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, watch this, they desire a better country. That is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. I want to ask you right now, and answer me, are you seeking that better country? Well, then you should not be ashamed, for God is not ashamed of you, for he has prepared for you a city. He's called us then to go out, to travel, and to undertake a journey to that promised world above. And what he wants for us is to understand that our life is all about a journey, and we should live it that way. Does that one need to be turned off? Thank you. All right. So now, undertaking a journey, what I'd like to ask then for this sermon is, if we're travelers, if we're pilgrims, how does a traveler make it to his journey's end, to his desired haven, to his blessed home and rest, to his heavenly country? What does a traveler need, and what do we need as we journey, as God's called us out to go and at last arrive in heaven? What does a traveler need? All right, we're going to get there. That's point two. First thing you need if you're a traveler, like when I was in Europe and I was traveling through all those countries as a young man, I needed to make sure that I had my passport with me. If you have a passport to get into the country, the United States, for example, in this case, if I hold this close and I have this, I will gain entrance into that country to which I'm traveling. And in the same way, as Christians, when God calls us to undertake a journey, we need a passport to heaven. That is, we need to be citizens of heaven, of the world above. For Jesus says this in John chapter 8. We just read it. He said, I go away, and you will seek me and die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come, he told the Jews. Note that. He says, you cannot come. In other words, there are no illegal aliens in heaven. You've got to be a citizen to get there. The next line he says there, then, he says, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I'm not of this world. In other words, he says, I not only have a passport, I am the king of that country, but you can't come to my country because you are not citizens. You are from below. You belong to this world, not to mine. Is there any hope for us then? The next line, Jesus says, I told you that you would die in your sins, for you will die in your sins, unless you believe that I am he. Unless you believe that I am the king of that land, your Lord and Savior, then what happens? If you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Jesus says, I grant you a pardon, remission of all your sins through my death on the cross, through faith, and a passport, namely that you are born citizens of heaven. In fact, it's kind of cool if you look at this passport. Look at that. It bears the actual seal of the United States upon it and is even stamped, I think, on most of them. How about us? John chapter 3. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, and that word really means, it's anathen in the Greek, it means born from above. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter it a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Guess what? What's that talking about? Water and the Spirit? Baptism. In baptism, God seals your document, the passport that you are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And he grants you this by his grace, makes you a citizen, so that when you arrive at those heavenly gates, you show your passport, and the guards give you a smile and welcome you in, and don't turn you back to your old country. How does that work? How can we be citizens of heaven and born from above? Well, think about this. If you're living in a foreign land, a distant place, not the United States, and you've lived there, like, say, in Africa your whole life, how do you get to be a citizen of the United States and actually come there? Well, let's say that you were born while in Africa, never having seen the United States. You were born in the U.S. Embassy in Africa. You were born then on U.S. soil, though in a foreign land, though you never knew your country or saw it, you were a citizen by birth. And in the same way, you've never seen heaven. Anybody seen heaven? Anybody been to heaven? Anybody seen that land God's promised us? No, but you've been by birth, born from above, through faith in Jesus Christ, and God says, in the waters of baptism by the Holy Spirit. And Paul reminds us then, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power which enables him even to subject all things to himself. So the first thing you need is a passport. And when I was in Europe, I always used this. Put it in here. Strapped it around my back, tucked it in under my shirt, and I made sure I kept this close to my body, just like you need to keep your faith in Jesus Christ close to your heart and not let go of the gifts God gave you in the gospel. So there's number one. Shirley, where was point number two? The map, thank you. You need to know the way, not only if you're a traveler or have a passport, you need to know the way to your country. You need to know the journey there, and you need to walk it. For travelers do what? Travel. Pilgrims, journey. And Christians walk in the way of Jesus Christ. So we need to walk there. What is that way? Well, we look at John 14. Jesus says, in my Father's house are many rooms. Were it not so, would I told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. You know the way. Thomas says, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus answers, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So you need a map. You need to know the way to go. What is the way to go to heaven, to walk through this life? Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. We walk by faith in him, not by sight, and we keep his word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Okay? That's what a traveler needs. And how do you know this? The rest of the world doesn't know the way to heaven. They don't believe it's by Jesus. How do you know it's by Jesus? And how do you know it's by this map that he's given us, his word? Well, think about this. Anybody live on the beach here? You got the loggerhead sea turtles, right? The little babies. The mom puts all the eggs in her little sand castle there. And at a certain time, they're born. Does anybody walk up to them and hand them a map? Oh, I'm sorry. The sea is this way. No. It's born in them the moment they're born and cracked through that shell. God has wired the map into their very hearts. And what do? They come out at night and they seek the light, right? And they go for the light because the light is leading them to the sea, which is their home. And in the same way, when you're born of water and the Spirit, when you become a citizen of heaven, God wires into you by birth the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus. And you know to follow the light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So what's it mean? It means to believe in Jesus Christ for your salvation and to love one another. That's the way that we walk. That's following the light, and it leads us, just like the little sea turtles to the sea, it leads us home. Praise be to God. So we have a passport as a traveler. We have the map God's given us. We know the way. It's through Jesus. And then we love one another. Another thing you got to understand, though, is as a traveler, you're going to be a stranger to the lands through which you travel. That's the very definition of a traveler, right? That he's not from this land, and therefore he is an alien or a stranger to those in those lands through which he passes. Years ago, when I was in Europe, I was a young man and 19 and traveled through all those countries. I enjoyed those countries, but I didn't live there. I wasn't from there. In fact, what did I need? My little Berlitz, French, English, and even with this, I didn't speak very well. They kind of looked at me quizzically. Why? Because I was from a different country. I spoke a different language. I had different words, different thoughts, different customs. And though I could kind of get along with them and enjoy their land for a while, I was a stranger in it, and they a stranger to me. And you got to understand that when you become a citizen of heaven, when you become a Christian, when you're born from above and belong there, you're going to be a stranger to this world and to the people in it. And you just got to be content to be a stranger. A lot of times we're all miffed and get upset because the world doesn't understand us. And we don't understand the world. And don't worry about it. Jesus says, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And John chapter 3, 1 John 3, he says, do not wonder that the world hates you. We know that we've passed out of death to life because we love the brethren. Do you know what? You're a stranger to the world now, but one time you were a stranger to God. You were a friend of the world. God came to you in your sins. He brought you to repentance. He gave you faith in Christ. And when you were a stranger, he made you his friend. But when you become a citizen of heaven, you become a stranger now to your old country, the world. So don't let that bother you. Remember, Paul says, at one time you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise. having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, you who are far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ. So you're no longer strangers. You're no longer sojourners to God, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure grows together into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built into it for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So are you content to be strangers? Jesus was a stranger. He came to this world. He says, I'm from above, you're from below. And they didn't understand him. What didn't they know? They didn't know who he was. They said to him in John 8, who are you? Even what I've told you from the beginning, he says. John 7, they didn't know where he's from. He says, you know me and you know where I come from, but I've not come of my own own accord. He who sent me is true, and him you do not know. You don't know where I come from. I'm just not, hint, it ain't Nazareth. I came from there. And so they didn't know that. They also didn't know where he was going. Jesus says, I shall be with you a little longer, then I go to him who sent me. You'll seek me and not find me. Where I am, you can't come. The Jews said, where does this man intend to go, that we shall not find him? We don't know where he's going. We don't know who he is. We don't know where he's from. We don't know where he's going. And that's the case with Jesus. It's going to be the same case with those who are of Jesus. They don't know who Christians really are, that we're of heaven. They don't know where we've come from, heaven, born from there. They don't know where we're going, heaven, to which we're destined. And they don't know the way which we're going, which is through faith in Jesus and loving one another. And Jesus confirms that, saying, check this out. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. You'll be strangers to the land. Let that be a contentment for you. Next thing is travelers, is you need not to be sidetracked by the attractions of this world. And that can be a temptation for us, right? When I was traveling through Europe and Switzerland, I remember this alpine snow-capped mountain before me, behind me, and I got a picture standing there all bold and brave and stuff. But I had no desire to stay, as beautiful as that was. But when I got to Italy, a little different. I'd been on the road, I was dirty, I was sleeping on park benches, I was sleeping in train compartments, I was a little tired, and I knew a family, they invited me in, and all of a sudden I had my own villa overlooking Florence. I had a two-story guest house to myself. I had a pool and a shower. I had free meals, and they gave me my own moped. So I said, I'm going to stay a day or two. Well, they said, stay. Be content to stay another day. Well, I stayed another day. I said, but I got to go tomorrow. They said, be content to stay another day. And I stayed, actually ended up staying 5 days. It was harder to leave that place, overlooking this beautiful area and having all this lush stuff. But you know what? The traveler's itch got into me and grew hot again. And I knew that this is not my country. I have to press on. And the same way, you got to understand, when you go through this life, there's a lot of attractions in this world. Some things good and some things bad and ugly. You can take delight in seeing the good things as you go along like a traveler. Just whip out your camera. Did it go off? Ah, it's an old camera. It worked a while ago. I haven't used this for years. But guess what? When you go through this world, go ahead. Take some pictures. Enjoy what the good things God's given you, whatever they may be. Turn aside from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We cannot settle in this world. We've got to fix it into our minds that we have been made by God to be journeyers, travelers, pilgrims, and we don't rest. We don't stop. Our heart is always for going forward to that desired country, that better country above where Christ is. Not to be like Demas, who in love with this present world has deserted me, Paul says, and has gone to Thessalonica. For the form of this world's passing away. The world passes away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So don't settle like Ephraim and Manasseh for your inheritance east of the Jordan. Enter the promised land and be aiming for that. Also then, we need to keep our eyes on home. When I was traveling, I would have something like this in my wallet, little wallet thing, and a picture of home, right? The land to which I was going. Why do you not want to settle for things in this world? Why do you not want to set your heart on the things of this life? Answers, number one, the world's passing away. You can't keep it anyway. Secondly, even if the world weren't passing away, you're passing away, right? Why would you strive to live for something that you can't keep? Why does the world call us fools for striving for something invisible that we can keep forever? And also, we don't settle for this world because we count our own country, our homeland, as far better and superior by far. Paul says the things of this life and the sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed to us. Do you keep this picture in the wallet of your heart? Do you keep your eyes on the heavenly kingdom to which God has called you, to that land of promise, though you've never seen it, like Abraham? Well, when I was up in Cape Cod the other week, I was kayaking, love that, across the bays behind my parents' house, and it's about 3 miles over to this deserted strip of dune beach. I went out there at the crisp morning, 5 o'clock sunrise, nobody on the water, and I went across, journeyed over there. I got into the waterlets up these marshes, walked across the eelgrass, past the abandoned fisherman's shack, nobody there for miles, up over the deserted dunes, and I always love this. Every year when I do this, I'm going across the dunes about a half a mile or so, and then finally I get to the point where I'm at my last dune. And I'm walking up the hill, and the horizon of the dune, of the sand, is going like this. And I start to hear the roar of the cold sea. Oh, no one around for miles. And as I come up, all of a sudden, there's just one moment. Whoosh, and the vast, open, dark sea, the fathomless grace of God is before me. And I remember this year, I thought of this for this sermon way back then. I was standing on that bluff of dune. I look behind me at all the pleasures of the bay, these little waters, and I look before me at the vastness of the ocean. And I thought, that's like all the pleasures of this life. Will I content myself to stay in there forever? Or will I turn and go to a land I've not seen, to a vast ocean of grace that knows it goes on and on forever and ever? If I travel weeks and months, I'll never get to the end of it. That's what it's like for us to turn aside from the things of this life and its pleasures, count them as rubbish next to the vast ocean of our homeland that's set before us. And that's what we're supposed to be as Christians, as travelers and as pilgrims and as sojourners in this life, to set our eyes on the kingdom to come. For it stands in Scripture, but as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God's not ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared for them a city. Now, I want you to know, as we conclude here today, you are not lone strangers. You know the lone stranger? God's given you friends. God's given you companions to walk through life. God's given us each other and myself and each of us to walk. But it's even better than that. God has given you himself, the king of the country, to which you're bound to go with you. His own rod and his staff comforting us to fight off the lion and the bear in this wilderness and to lead us safely home. So we say, rejoice, O pilgrim throng. Rejoice, give thanks, and sing. Your festal banner wave on high to Christ our heavenly King. For at last your march shall end. The wearied one shall rest. The pilgrims find their home at last, Jerusalem the blessed. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. In Jesus' name, amen.